From Bethany Chapel in North Yonkers, we bring you the Good News Hour. Once again, it's 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening, which means that it's time for another broadcast of the Good News Hour, the program which comes to you every week from Bethany Chapel, 55 Greenvale Avenue in North Yonkers. We're certainly glad to be with you tonight and trust you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as in word and song we make known once again the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who went to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood for you. And we hope tonight that as you listen, you'll realize your need of him and trust him as your own personal Savior. Scripture reading tonight, we're reading from the 53rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for this one of whom we've been reading, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows. that one who is despised and afflicted and oppressed for each one of us. We thank thee, our Father, that thy Son went to the cross of Calvary and there was crucified that we might have eternal life. And we thank thee that thy word tells us that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. What a blessed assurance this is, Father. We pray for those who are listening in Radio Land tonight, those particularly who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who do not have this assurance, those who do not have this hope. And we ask, Father, that as thy word goes out in song and word on this broadcast, that they might realize their need of him, and this very night put their faith and trust in him as their own personal Savior. And so we commit these songs and thy word, Father, into thy hands and ask thy blessing upon it, and pray that as a result of this broadcast tonight, there will be those who will pass from death unto life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his holy and precious name. Amen. To call to your attention the announcements of the services to be held here at Bethany Chapel this week and extend to you a cordial and friendly invitation to come and be with us at any or all of these services. Tonight at 7:30 is our Sunday evening gospel service, when our speaker will be Mr. Robert Clark, a young man who has gone down into the southland of this country to carry the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the people in that area. We hope you can come and be with us tonight at 7:30 here at Bethany Chapel. Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock is our weekly prayer and ministry meeting. And then Friday night at 7:30, the Grenadiers meet here at Bethany Chapel. This is a group of boys and girls and young people in the 8 to 18 age group. We invite you to send your children here to Bethany Chapel on Friday nights for the meeting of the Grenadiers. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is our Family Bible Hour and Sunday School. And this particular service provides a place for everyone in the family, regardless of age. While a service for the adults is in progress here in the main auditorium, our Sunday school is in session downstairs, and so you can come and bring the whole family with you, for there's a place for everyone. We do hope you can come and visit with us here at Bethany Chapel. We'd like to get to know you, and we think a time of real blessing awaits you here if you come. Our address again, Bethany Chapel, 55 Greenvale Avenue in North Yonkers. very glad to have back with us as our speaker on the Good News Hour this evening, Mr. Harold M. Harper from Buffalo, New York.
I want to speak to you today about the subject of the priesthood of the believer. The Word of God has much to say about that subject. Most folk who read their Bibles are acquainted with the priesthood of our Lord Jesus. Since he died for our sins and rose again, he has taken his place at God's right hand. There we see him functioning on behalf of his people, for whom he gave his life in weakness on the cross. He in heaven sustains two relationships to his people, our advocate with the Father when as a last we sin against him, but he is also seen as our great high priest in respect to our infirmities. The book of Hebrews is rich in its teaching concerning him in that capacity. We find in chapter 2 that he became man in order that he might thus function. More than this, in chapter 4 tells us that he was tempted in all points as we are, sin apart, in order that he might sympathize and succor us in every time of need. As priest, he maintains us before our God as we trudge along our pilgrim pathway. As the apostle contemplated him in that relationship that he bears, he exclaimed, "We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens." And again, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." But while most believers are more or less conversant with this wonderful truth, there may be some who do not know that all believers are designated priests of God in this present dispensation of grace. The song of the ransomed in glory will be, "Unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and our Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." What a place of dignity has been given the redeemed of the Lord. Under the old economy of Judaism, it was God's first desire that the entire nation should be priests unto him. This was on the ground of their obedience to him. Alas, as a nation, they miserably failed. So God chose the tribe of Levi, and especially the family of Aaron, to minister to him in that capacity. This was granted to them in a time of crisis. Moses had gone up to God on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Because of his failure to return in the time they thought he should have come, the people made and worshipped the golden calf. God's word to the nation was, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." The entire tribe of Levi stepped forth to a man and were appointed by God to the priestly function. But in the New Testament line of thing, all of God's people, saved by his sovereign grace, redeemed by Christ's precious blood, are called priests. Peter wrote, "Ye also as living stones are built up a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." There were four characteristics of priesthood in the Old Testament. First, he is chosen of God. Second, he is God's peculiar property. Third, he is holy unto God. And fourth, he is able to offer sacrifices to God. This is summed up by Moses in Deuteronomy 10, 8 and 9, that the tribe of Levi was separated first to bear the ark of God, second to stand before the Lord to minister to him, and third, to bless his name. Only those who were born into the tribe of Levi were thus able to draw near and worship and serve him. But only those who were born of the Spirit of God now are capacitated to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Hence we read in 1 Peter 1:22-23 about being born again by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. New birth rests upon redemption. So we read still in 1 Peter 1:19 about being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Are you one of the redeemed of the Lord today? Have you really been born again? Peter tells us that the Holy Spirit is the divine agent in the new birth. The Word of God is the divine means used, and the divine method is the preaching of the precious gospel, which levels man in God's sight even as the grass of a field. When the gospel is preached in the energy and power of the Spirit of God, he applies the word to the hearts of the hearers, who discover thereby the need of cleansing and pardon. When such turn to God in living faith, they are saved in time for eternity. Such are constituted priests of God. Peter goes on to tell us of the food for God's priests. In chapter 2, 1-2 of his first epistle, we read, as newborn babes, desire that sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The new life in the soul needs sustenance. The same living word which brought divine life to the soul provides the nourishment. The nation in Egypt fed upon the lamb roast with fire, which speaks of Christ's suffering love on our behalf. Love that went even unto death. On their journey through the wilderness they were nourished by the manna which fell every morning and which had to be gathered every morning. This sets before us Christ in his earthly life and humiliation. Such can be found in the four Gospels. And when they reached the land of promise, they ate the old corn of the land, which tells us of Christ risen and glorified at God's right hand. So Christ in his varied relationships becomes the food for our souls. Israel's priests served in the tabernacle and the temple. They never rested. Their work was never finished. They served in the realm of type and shadow. The believer in the Lord Jesus functions in the heavenly sanctuary, in the presence of our great high priest, beyond the clouds, beyond the stars, in the holiest of all. We sing sometimes, within the holiest of all, cleansed by thy precious blood, before thy throne thy children fall and worship thee, our God. As holy priests, we have functions to perform. Peter tells us that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There are three of these. First, my person, that is, myself. Paul wrote, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, for the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. By an act of the will and constrained by the love of Christ, we are to yield our lives unto him. The whole man, spirit and soul and body, are to be laid upon the altar. He has a right to this. Did he not redeem us by paying the price? Should we not recognize his claims upon our lives? About the Corinthians we read that they gave their own selves unto the Lord. Have you done this, dear believer? John George Matheson, the poet, wrote, I give thee back the life I owe, that in thy sunshine depths its glow may fuller, richer be. Our Lord can do little for or with us until he has the rudder, the tiller of our lives. Place this in his hand, believer, and prove for yourself what he will do for and with you. For we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar be laid. The second sacrifice is that of praise. We read in Hebrews 13, to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Strange, we're commanded to praise him. One would think when so much has been done on our behalf that our lips would be filled with his praise night and day. God loves the praises of his people. He dwells amid the praises of those who love him. Our praise rises a sweet incense before him. In order to adequately praise him, our hearts must be full. One of our poets wrote, it takes the overflow of heart to give the lips full speech. As we think of his love, his grace, his kindness to us from day to day, our hearts should return their praises to him, our great high priest, who presents them to his Father in all of the fragrance of his work. The third sacrifice we may offer is our purse. Paul wrote the Philippian believers that their gift was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Is it not a wonderful thing that we can offer something to him that would be both acceptable and well-pleasing to him? What could a pauper give a millionaire, for example? Our God graciously receives whatever I place in his hands. Then he places this to my account in heaven, and he uses almost identical language to describe this sacrifice in Philippians 4:18, as he uses in Ephesians 5:2 to set forth the immense value of our Lord Jesus on the cross of shame. There we read, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So many have looked at giving to the Lord as an obligation to be rendered instead of a privilege to be enjoyed. Finally, in 1 Peter 2:9, the believer is set forth as a royal priest. We read, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." As holy priests, we function Godward. As royal priests, we function manward. We serve inside the veil in the former capacity. We go outside the camp for the latter. We should be witnessing of him to all with whom we come in contact, showing forth his moral glories. We find in Luke 2 two illustrations of these precious truths. Simeon, when he saw the infant Redeemer, blessed God, but after a bit he blessed them, Mary and Joseph. Anna the widow gave thanks unto the Lord as a holy priest, and then spake of him to all who dwelt in Jerusalem as a royal priest. May he, our great high priest, teach us these precious privileges given to his redeemed people. Now, Lord, bless to our hearts thy word, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for you tonight. He's waiting to receive you unto himself. But you are the only one who can decide whether or not you will come to him. He'll not force himself upon you, but you must come to him. However, he extends to you an invitation, for he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Will you make him your Savior? Will you trust him now, right there where you are? Well, may God grant that you will, for his name's sake. And now until next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, when we trust you'll dial away again, those of us on the Good News Hour wish all of you there in Radio Land a very pleasant good night and the Lord's blessing.